Disappearing ships? UFOs? Mothman? Today on Star Queen Paranormal, we'll be discussing the area in and around the Lake Michigan Triangle. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
Every day that makes you say, hey.
This is Star Queen Paranormal. For the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Warm welcome, little Stardusties.
This is your captain speaking.
Cosmic Coconut. Intergalactic Crash Test Dummy. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary, space pirate, and star queen. I am your host, Exie. Now, as I said in the teaser, the Lake Michigan Triangle. It only occurred to me as I was writing the episode, I haven't even covered the Bermuda Triangle. So bear with me, little Stardusties. I would not deprive you. There's also a Pacific Triangle. I think that one's called the Devil's Triangle. I'm gonna go around and see if I can dig up some stuff on some of those. But as I said, Lake Michigan Triangle. That's it. That's the episode. We'll be talking about the weird disappearances, UFO sightings, winged creature sightings, etc., etc. I've got to keep some of this stuff fun so that you hang on for the main event. But before we do that, let me give you some stuff on the number 34. Angel number 34 reminds you that you have the skills and talents to be successful. The number 34 typically symbolizes new beginnings, growth, and expansion. If you've been feeling stuck in a rut lately, seeing this number could be a sign that it's time for you to make some changes and important decisions in your daily life. You heard it, Stardusties. It's time to do the things and make the things happen. You have the power! You have the power, Stardusties. Especially my Stardusties. Something about being drawn to this show makes you a truly divine and remarkable creature. And that's just some stuff I know about my Stardusties. You know what else I know about my Stardusties? That if they're wearing headphones, they're gonna need to cover their ears. Because it's time for Terrible Tarot! Ooh,
it's true, Tarot.
Now, kids, the name of this bit, see, is Terrible Tarot, see? What I do is I shuffle the cards terribly. As you can hear. Here? Yes, here. Just say here again for good measure. And quick friendly reminder, I'm going to be reading these cards terribly. However, if you'd like your cards read not so terribly, but still read for the collective, I have a Patreon, and I do not have very good ideas for my Patreon exclusives. So I have a segment called Not So Terrible Tarot. And I just want to thank Anna, my newest Patreon subscriber. I was all ready to give up on this show, but now I have a second Patreon subscriber. So thank you for your support and encouragement to keep going. Now, back to your cards, babies. And your cards for today are the Four of Wands, the Four of Pentacles, and the Eight of Wands. I like that there are so many fours in this reading, partially because four has recently become one of my lucky numbers. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Okay, Stardusties. I see that this reading, for my collective, so it may not resonate,
is about your marriage, home life, stability, reasons for you to celebrate. But within that realm, that sphere that this may apply to, be it your home life or your marriage, there was information that was withheld from you. And this reading is kind of giving me the vibe that it's been withheld from you for a while. Possibly by one person. Don't worry, Stardusties. I feel like whatever this information is, it's very, very good news regarding abundance. In maybe emotional abundance or financial abundance. But anyway, it seems like secrets are going to be spilled. Abundant surprises are about to be had. And whatever this information is that'll enhance your emotional or financial abundance, it's coming in hot. It's coming in fast. And it may even come in the form of air travel or instant messenger. And also, real quick, a lot of fire energy and air energy. So somebody may be a fire sign, somebody may be an air sign. I'm also getting maybe a fire sign pretending to be an air sign for some reason. And that was truly terrible.
Red Poppet doesn't think your reads are terrible, Miss Axie. Red Poppet just wants to say that your Stardusties are truly amazing and loved and valued.
Thank you, Red Puppet from Public Television.
Today, instead of a quote, I'm going to be giving you another channeled message straight from the mouth of Axie, where I impart wisdom on you from the divine or whatever you believe. And today's channeled message is from January 13th, 2023, when things seem impossible. I like to remind myself that impossible things happen every day. In today's bizarre headlines, from December 30th, 2022, an unannounced rocket launch causes a UFO panic in South Korea. Pictures, videos, and tweets had many Korean citizens in a panic as they witnessed a twisty tendril of vapor in red to white ombre snaking across the sky behind bright white light in parts of South Korea. Social media was abuzz with concerned citizens who said they saw a soaring object, a rainbow-colored vapor trail, or other mysterious lights. Many of these concerned citizens posted photos and videos. One Twitter user said, "What is this? Is this a UFO? I'm scared." Another said they suspected it was a North Korean missile launch, and they were concerned about a war. Still others had their theories. They suspected it was a drone, or a light show, or a supernatural phenomenon. South Korea's emergency offices and police received hundreds of calls from citizens who were witnessing this strange event, calling in with reports of mysterious lights across the country. But South Korea's military confirmed that it was a solid-fueled rockets test fire, and the Korean Defense Ministry said in a statement that the rocket launch was part of its efforts to build a space-based surveillance capability and bolster defense posture, saying that it didn't notify the general public of the launch in advance because it involved sensitive military secret issues.
Okay, Stardusties, it's time for me to get snack-a-lackin' and release the Kraken. Be right back.
Hey! Welcome to ShambleFest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
It's a big world, so it's not really surprising. There are a lot of little corners or triangles shrouded in deep mystery.
While many of you Stardusties have heard legends of the Bermuda Triangle, which I do promise to try and cover in a future episode, there is a small segment of Lake Michigan that is perhaps equally shrouded in mystery, though maybe not as famous. The Lake Michigan Triangle. The Lake Michigan Triangle is said to be located from Ludington to Benton Harbor, Michigan, and to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. I suppose you could say our story begins on May 21st, 1891. Seven sailors boarded their ship, a lumber schooner called Thomas Humes, and began their trip back to Muskegon alongside their sister ship, another schooner by the name of Rouse Simmons. Soon, during the voyage, and it appeared as though a storm was about to brew, the crew of the Rouse Simmons decided to find some place to wait out the storm. The Thomas Humes decided to sail on, and they were unfortunately never seen again. Not a single piece of wreckage could be found at the time. 21 years later, on November 22nd, 1912, the Rouse Simmons, the surviving ship from the previous story, was sailing from Michigan to Chicago with 16 crew members. Despite their clear conditions, they were never seen again. Witnesses reported seeing the distress flag flying despite the clear conditions. A lifeboat was sent out to their last known location, but when it got to the approximate area of where it should be, there was no sign of the Rouse Simmons. No sign of the crew, nor any of the wreckage. Now, they did have Christmas trees on board. That was their haul at the time. And a year later, Christmas trees did begin to wash ashore. And a year after that, a fisherman caught a wallet while fishing, and that wallet belonged to the captain of the Rouse Simmons, the missing captain of the Rouse Simmons. But no further traces had been found at the time. We'll get into that later. In 1921, the Rosabelle, another schooner, failed to reach its destination. This time, the wreckage was found. The Rosabelle was found, anyway, floating upside down. Not a single passenger was with it. No bodies were ever recovered, and there was no evidence of a collision. The cause for sinking was not determined. Another ship sank in 1958, called the Carl D. Bradley, and that one sank because its hull inexplicably split into two. In April of 1937, a ship was making a pretty easy trip, voyage, and Captain George R. Donner was the captain. He went to his quarters for the night, locked his door, and I guess everyone assumed he had fallen asleep. When it was time to get up in the morning, his crewmates knocked on the door. There was no answer. The crewmate continued to knock on the door, and there was no answer. The crewmate tried the handle, and it would not move, because the door could only be locked from the inside. The crew made a decision to unlock the door, assuming the captain had some kind of medical emergency. So they proceeded to walk in, and the room was completely empty. The captain had vanished. Now, it is mentioned that there were portholes on the wall, but they were too small for most men to fit through, and they were completely fastened. And there was no way the captain could have locked the door if he left. So Captain Donner just vanished somehow from his room. They searched the whole ship. There is not a single indication of where Captain Donner had gone. Now, when police investigated the disappearance of Captain Donner, they learned that for some reason the compasses aboard the ship were not working properly. And the reason that Captain Donner retired to his quarters in the first place was because he was filled with some kind of overwhelming anxiety, which was a little peculiar for him, as he was a very assured captain. So he thought maybe a quick rest, I think it says that he was only gone for about 2 hours, would help him recover from his mystery anxiety. In June 1950, Northwest Airlines Flight 2501 was flying from New York City to Seattle with 58 passengers. As the flight made its way across the Michigan Triangle, Captain Robert Lind radioed the air traffic control tower to request permission to descend 2,500 feet due to a severe electrical storm. When air traffic control denied permission for the plane to descend, their radar went dark. The plane was gone. So immediately a search commences. There was no plane wreckage found. The plane had just seemingly vanished. And I'm not sure which year this was started, but author Clive Kussler and the Michigan Shipwreck Research Associates perform a search for Flight 2501 every year. And every single year, they have come up empty-handed. No sign of Flight 2501 exists. Now, circling back to the first two schooners, in 2006, the Thomas Hume wreckage was found in pretty near perfect condition, but the Rouse Simmons was found completely perfect condition, or there just doesn't really appear to be a reason why it sank. And I thought I had this in my notes. It was found in like shallow water. I think it was like 165 feet of water. So there doesn't really appear to be any good reason why it sank. In 2007, archaeology professors Mark Hulley and Brian Abbott conduct a sonar in Lake Michigan, in the Lake Michigan Triangle, to find more missing ships. But what they found instead was a Stonehenge-like structure in 40 feet of water. It doesn't really have any clues as to who or what left it, but it is right next to a prehistoric carving of a mastodon, which went extinct over 12,000 years ago. So the random Stonehenge under Lake Michigan has sort of baffled scientists, and they're not entirely sure what to make of it. Strange lights have also been reported in the Lake Michigan Triangle, and unusual weather as well. It's said that calm, placid waters would become suddenly tumultuous or stormy before sailors would have a chance to react. Or not react, I guess prepare, rather. And one source says that the Michigan Triangle has a reputation of huge chunks of ice randomly falling from the sky, even on clear, warm, sunny days. This source says that sailors have actually brought these ice chunks back with them because they were afraid nobody would believe them. In 2017, there were several reports of a winged humanoid by a bunch of eyewitnesses
this winged creature has been described to look similar to Mothman. So this is the Lake Michigan Mothman.
Mothman!
And on top of all the weird lights, the ships going missing on clear days, and other strange occurrences, the Lake Michigan Triangle is also a hotspot for UFOs. In fact, and I think there's a couple Unsolved Mystery episodes about this one, in 1994, more than 300 eyewitnesses in 42 counties of Michigan called 911 or reported seeing multiple UFOs in West Michigan. Witnesses described it as resembling flickering Christmas lights, and it was cylindrical or circular in shape, depending on who was reporting it, with blue, red, or green lights. And this particular UFO was also tracked on a National Weather Service radar. And one of the more famous tales, I had trouble deciding whether this went in the Lake Michigan episode or a Missing 411 episode, but Stephen Kubacki went on a solo cross-country skiing expedition in February of 1978 when he did not return at the time his humans were expecting him, his family. They went looking for him, and all they could find were tracks that led to the edge of Lake Michigan. So they conducted a search and couldn't find Stephen. So they had a crew fly over. That's where they saw the footprints that went down to the edge of Lake Michigan in the Lake Michigan Triangle area. But the ice was unbroken, and a site check produced no trace of Stephen. Later that day, they discovered his backpack in the same general region as his skis. There was no further evidence or indication of Stephen. He just seemed to have vanished into thin air. May 5th, 1979, 15 months later, after Stephen had been pronounced presumably dead, he rang the doorbell to his father's house. His dad, like anyone else, asked him where he had been. Stephen said he didn't remember, but when he went missing, he had awoken in a field in Pittsfield, about 40 miles from his father's house. He was laying naked in a meadow. He was carrying a tiny backpack with maps that were not his, and he had no recollection of what had occurred in the past 14 months he had been missing. So, Stardusties, what is it about Lake Michigan and this particular area of Lake Michigan that seems to be chock full of paranormal mysteries? What is it about this part of Lake Michigan that makes boats and planes and people vanish? What makes the weather weird and the high strangeness appear? Is it a portal to another dimension? Is there a deep sea secret buried within the lake? Is it aliens? Isn't it always? But what do you think, little Stardusties? Do you believe this place has a paranormal history? Or are you of the camp that just believes that it's nothing more than a string of bizarre coincidences that happened in the same place? Do you have any other theories? Do you have any other paranormal stories? Good, because we'd love to hear from you. Or if you have episode suggestions, that would be great.
Great.
Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram, where I don't keep anything up to date. I do believe there is a Tiki-Talki out there, too. So check out Star Queen Paranormal on TikTok. If you like me, and you want to send me money, money, please! Check us out at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal, where for as little as a dollar, I might remember to put exclusive content up for my Stardusties. But even if I forget,
you get bragging rights for supporting your favorite podcast.
That's me!
Maybe. If you don't listen to some other better shows.
Confidence. Confidence, Exy. You can do it.
Aight then. Always remember that carrying iron today can keep the mischievous fae away. And also remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, little Stardusties, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.